This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur for December 6th, 2005, Episode 2, Flock. Amber, what is Flock?
Flock. Flock is a free open source web browser. A lot of people might not have heard of it, but it is, you know, it's somewhat similar to Firefox, but it tends to integrate extra applications like Flickr and Delicious, and it allows you to do things straight from the browser that normally you would go to a different website to do, such as blogging and, you know, posting photos to Flickr and those types of things. So we are lucky enough to get one of the founding members of the Flock team. I think there's about 10 of them on the team right now, 10 or 15, and his name is Chris Mazzina. And you're one of the founders and designers of Flock.
Well, I was there in the beginning, so if that makes me a founder, then sure.
What was it like in the beginning creating Flock? For anyone who doesn't know, Flock is a relatively newish web browser that works for Mac and Windows as well.
As well as Linux.
And Linux as well.
Right. Well, actually, we didn't start out as Flock at all. We started out as a company called Round 2. Sometime last spring, actually, and we started out actually just wanting to build a bunch of really cool extensions and wanting to improve on the user experience that Firefox already provided. And the way that we came upon deciding to build a browser ourselves was thinking about whether or not you can actually sustain a business just, you know, improving extensions that are already out there. And we started to talk about what extensions we'd want to build, and that conversation just led into this conversation about what a more socially integrated browser would look like, and that's when we made the decision to go off and start Flock.
Are you using Zool to do this, or in other words, isn't Firefox the user interface entirely JavaScript and XML based? So
yes,
so it's pretty easy for you to is it a skin, would you call it?
Well, I mean, it's definitely more than that. You know, there has been sort of a lot of questions about why Flock isn't just a bunch of extensions and a theme. And that's a perfectly legitimate question given the architecture of Firefox. We do use that infrastructure to build not only our you know, visual interface around it, as well as a lot of the backend stuff. But what we're doing is more, I think, conceptually complete. And so therefore, you know, building a bunch of extensions that you can install pieces of or, you know, uninstall other parts of kind of destroys the whole concept. So we wanted to create something that is conceptually, you know, from soup to nuts, you know, makes sense. So we are using, you know, Zool to do all the interface stuff, but we are also bundling in a bunch of other really interesting technologies. For example, the blog editor is something that really Firefox doesn't expose at all. And we also have bundled in Lucene, which is a full-text search engine to search your history and your tags and stuff like that.
Lucene.
So for someone who hasn't had a chance to use Flock or download it and try it, how would you say that it is different than Firefox? I have had a chance to play with it, and I know there's sort of built-in blogging within the application itself. You can also view Flickr photos. So what would you say are some of the biggest differences?
Well, I think it's really the problems that we're trying to solve with Flock that makes it different. And you only really get a sense, I think, using it over time, how we're approaching those problems. So I tend to do a lot of the interface design from the perspective of solving user workflows, trying to look at what people are trying to get done and then think of the best ways that an interface could help you solve those problems. So one of the things that we were looking at, I mean, all of us tend to blog, and we find the blogging process really kind of cumbersome and unintuitive. It's distributed across a bunch of apps. You know, we use Ecto, and then we use like the Flickr uploader, and then we go to WordPress, and you've got all these different things all over the place where you have to know how they all work together. So we wanted to work around the idea of finding something on the web that you think is interesting and being able to blog about it directly right from there. So that's why, you know, when you make a selection on some text, you can right click and choose blog this, and it creates a whole new blog entry with a block quote and everything all done for you. Likewise, you know, we built in the Flickr top bar so you can explore photos, but also drag them into your blog posts. And we'll be doing something very similar with podcasts and videocasts and things like that in the future.
Very cool. So there's a couple of other neat features in Flock. I know one of them is the ability to use something called the shelf, where you can kind of store and stash some of the content in your browsing. And as well, and a couple of other interesting things. I know you can, the bookmarks are probably the biggest thing that works differently than Firefox. And you can actually star your favorites. Can you talk a little bit about the bookmarking features or favorites manager within Flock?
Totally. Yeah, actually, that is probably one of the most exciting things. And actually, it's representative of our whole philosophy towards the web browser, where we want it to sort of become a unified interface for interacting with web services. As you might know, we currently are integrated directly with Delicious. Now, that's going to be expanding in the future, where you can use any, you know, bookmark storage service that you want that has some kind of API that, that Flock can plug into. So, you know, you'll see support for shadows, and you'll see support for Furl and things like that in the near future, so that, you know, again, you have choice, which is one of the great things about Firefox, right? It was really trying to extend the idea of choice on the web, and we're moving that one step forward and saying, well, you know, you can use any browser you want, and you can access, you know, a lot of these services through extensions and what have you, but if you want sort of like one application that really has user experience and a unified workflow in mind that also uses those web services, you know, Flock's being built around that. So anyways, when it comes down to what we're doing with bookmarks, we're changing the whole manner in which people organize them. We're doing two things in particular. First, we're replacing the old folder hierarchy with tags. Tags have become, you know, really popular and so on, both on Flickr and Delicious and elsewhere. But we really recognize those as being useful for adding additional context or metadata, personal metadata, to the links that you're storing. So it becomes very useful for you to be able to mark up any link that you visit in a way that you'll remember it. So that's one of the things that's different. And obviously, you can apply multiple tags, so you don't have to like think about, gee, what folder does this go into? And it can only go in one. On top of that, the search engine that I talked about is a really excellent feature in terms of long-term usability. You go up to the search box that Firefox has, and now when you type things in, not only does it go through, you know, and allow you to do a search like you could before, but it searches your whole history of all the websites that you've ever visited, and it searches all the page contents. It also separates right now your history from your favorites, so things that you've starred will show up separately so that you can get to those things more quickly. We'll be adding more extensions to that, so you'll be able to like search for your tags. And as microformat starts to proliferate, you'll be able to search for people specifically on the pages that you visited, you know, or events and things like that.
How many people are using Flock today?
That's a very good question. I don't know. Like, it really varies. We find more and more people around the world sort of like finding out about it and using it. And you know, even though it's still a developer preview, we've got, you know, a couple, well, probably a couple hundred thousand downloads. So at least there are people that are very curious about it. And I kind of think that where we're going to be in 6 months is going to be much more interesting for most of, I guess, the wider audience that we're going after. You know, right now, you really do have to kind of be patient with it and allow it to sneeze and hiccup every now and then. But where we're going, I think, is really exciting. And I'm personally looking forward to it. As a fan of Firefox, you know, I think that what we're adding to the platform is going to be very interesting for people who spend a lot of time using the web for communicating.
What is your relationship to Firefox? I mean, I know you're using Firefox as your engine, but did some of you work on the Firefox project?
Yeah, actually, our CEO, Bart DeCrem, helped lead the Firefox 1.0 launch. He he led up a lot of the marketing efforts and some of the legal stuff and so on. So he was a real key player in the Mozilla Foundation for quite some time. My involvement with Mozilla was actually kind of interesting. I joined up as a volunteer around August of last year to help out promoting Firefox. And I ended up doing the design and helping organize the Spread Firefox campaign. And then I did the New York Times ad and those things. And, you know, the whole time while I was involved, all the way up until I think April, I was a volunteer. I was working out of San Francisco as an independent contractor on my own. I was working for Civic Space, which was the software that powered Spread Firefox, and, you know, donating as much time as I could to get Firefox out there. And so Bart ended up leaving the foundation to start his own company. And it just so happened that he and I were having lots of discussions about the future of browsers. And he was like, well, hey, you know, why don't you come join us and help us build this thing? So that's how I got involved in all this.
You said something interesting right at the beginning. You said a business. How do you make a business of a free browser?
Well, that's a really common question, actually. And I think that it's really interesting and a useful question. If you look at the examples that already exist out there, for example, there's Opera, even Firefox itself, you know, they're all putting out products that are free. Their browsers are free. And what they do is they support those browsers by being able to sell parts of the real estate of that browser to, you know, people who are interested in those pieces. So, for example, Opera announced that due to a deal with Google and its search box, it's able to give the browser away for free instead of supporting it with ads or charging for it. And so we have a very similar model to begin with. That's just sort of like the start. It's like, okay, that's sort of the established model. Let's go with that. That makes sense. And that doesn't intrude on the user experience.
So does does Google give you money for every Google search that goes on in the browser? Or
For the other browsers, yes.
Not for you.
Not for us yet.
You got to work on that.
We're still working on that, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you know, we're still very early in all these things going on. So what I think is really interesting is where this is going to go next and what possible business models there'll be when you really start looking at providing an exceptional user experience for leveraging web services. I don't have any numbers, and I have no knowledge whatsoever of how many new Flickr signups Flock has brought about, but anecdotally, I've heard that a number of people have said, you know, man, I didn't have a Flickr account before, but now that, you know, Flock supports that, I ended up getting one, and it's great. So, again, you kind of see where people are providing really good value and opening up their data for other people to use. There's going to be you know, models there for us to be able to sustain what we're doing. You know, and that's really what's important. Like, I wouldn't be working on this project if it weren't open source, you know, and I wouldn't be working on this if, you know, I thought it was just an idea to make money, because it's not.
So there's 10 of you on the team. Is that right? Are you all full-time on the Flock team?
Well, there's actually more like 15, maybe 14 now.
Okay.
And we are...
And you're actually in a garage.
Yes, literally. If you
go to, love that.
Lloyd has a... Lloyd, our QA guy, community outreach guy, he has a photo stream on Flickr under Fool's Wisdom. And you can actually see a number of photos of us working late into the night, as we often do, here in the garage in Palo Alto. So actually, not all of us work here. There's, I think, maybe 9 or 10 or something of us that actually work in Palo Alto. We have other people working in Tennessee and in Germany and Poland. We just hired a guy in Japan. So, you know, we're really using, you know, the social applications on the web to build Flock.
Mm-hmm. What about for some of those people who want to download Flock and start using it right now as their primary browser? Is this something you'd recommend?
Probably not, honestly. I mean, I use it pretty religiously, not just because, you know, I need to be testing it, but because I actually prefer it. I've been using Firefox 1.5 a lot lately, and I can't stand that the star button is missing. It's kind of ridiculous, but I really can't. And
the star button is something unique to Flock. It's a explain what the star button does.
So the star button is actually, this is sort of like another in terms of getting things done, right? You know, rather than trying to like go in and say, gee, you know, add a bookmark, okay, got to set a title, description, figure out what folder it goes in, we decided, you know, that's kind of silly. If you have interest in something, you know, just press a button and that's all you need to do. You know, I mean, it's kind of like in Gmail or in Flickr when you hit the star and those things are added to your favorites. We have a very similar model. The other thing that we do, actually, just while I'm on the topic of the star, is that we detect feeds that are on any page. So let's say that I go to, you know, somebody's blog, and I hit the start button, and there's feeds associated with that page. Well, if you go in your favorites manager and you find that link, you'll see the feeds listed there, and we actually give you a view of that feed that's useful. Now, moving forward, what's going to become very cool is the way that you'll be able to create smart collections from your favorites that represent the feed content. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, like, you know, coming out of my mouth like that, but the idea is that instead of having to organize all of your feeds and whatnot, as you used to do, you'll be able to use search to find out interesting things. You'll be able to leverage your social network to figure out what has authority related to you. And I'm just rambling about that. So anyways, yeah.
So what kind of people do you think will be using Flock in the future? Will it be people who are more along the lines of using a lot of these Web 2.0 services? Is that your target audience?
Well, you know, there's sort of like this funny concept of the mom test. And I happen to go home for the holidays, for Thanksgiving, for the American Thanksgiving. And, you know, I told my mom about what I'm building, and, you know, she has no idea what the heck I'm talking about. So someday it would be fabulous if my mom would be able to publish her photos through Flock, have a blog post that gets started up about those photos, write something in it, hit publish, and just like email, which she does actually use, you know, have something sent off to a blog, and she would know that, you know, her son's in college and, you know, at work are reading it. That's sort of like the long-term goal. In the interim, though, I do think it's going to be primarily people who are on Flickr, who are using blogs, who like having sort of a social experience on the web, who have friends across the world that they want to keep in touch with, and frankly, who find blogging and uploading photos and all of those little tasks that make the blogosphere really interesting, really cumbersome and kind of inefficient right now.
So your slogan really should be Flock, the social browser.
Yes.
That's actually what's on our sign up front. But
oh, good.
On the sign in front of the garage?
Yes.
Very nice. So yeah, maybe we'll...
Oh, yeah, it says it. You know what it says? I should have known, because if you do about Flock, it actually says it when you get to the credits. It says Flock, the social browser. Yeah.
Right.
So click credits to see that. But I didn't see that before. I just thought of it. But it shows that you're kind of fairly targeted, fairly clear in your focus.
Yeah, I mean, the one sort of like misnomer about using, you know, calling it the social browser is that until it actually orders you a beer at a bar, it isn't actually a social browser. So it kind of expands
into
some.
Is that in the works?
Thing. Yeah, right. You know, I mean, that's obviously coming. You know, if you can't have any blog readers, well, you know, you can pay Flock to read it for you or something. But I mean, it does.
That's the sociable browser, not the social browser.
It facilitates social interaction. That just sounds so lame that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you cut it down to the social browser, and then all of a sudden you've got whatever. Anyways, so but yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole idea.
Mm-hmm. So for someone who wants to learn a little bit more about Flock, they can just go to flock.com and download the preview version.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of actually make it hard to get to right now because we don't want everybody thinking, gee, this is Flock, this is what they're building. Because what we're building is really months away. You know, like we're at the 0.5 process moving towards the 1.0. And, you know, we want to have another good release out by the end of the year. But it's going to take a while until we bake all these ideas in and actually until the web services catch up to where we want to be with these things. So, they, you know, definitely I would encourage people who are interested and who are brave to try it out. And to send us feedback. But yeah, it's not quite ready for being your full-time browser yet. If you want to use it for that, absolutely go for it.
I think it's pretty stable. I've been using it for a while, and I think it's surprisingly stable.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, you know? So it's really what your expectations are. And we don't want people to think that, right, you know, the way Flock is now is the way that's going to be forever.
Can I ask one last question?
Absolutely.
What's with the name? You know, I mean, you're going to get a lot of attention. In fact, I've mentioned it. People, you know, then, of course, the inevitable, what the Flock? And,
yep.
Well, that browser is really flocked up. And, you know, so was that the idea?
You know, it's been one of the sort of like funny benefits of the name. You know, I mean, originally, again, we were round two. And the people sort of giving us some economic assistance back in the early days decided, you know, well, we don't really like that name. So we went through, I think, 3,000 different names or something stupid. I spent all of my days going over dictionary lists and things like that of possible things that we could use. And we came down to 4 or 5, and Flock was actually the one that we could sort of afford the domain for, which is actually very big business. I mean, you could put a child to college, for a year at least with the cost of domains. But in fact, once I started, because, we had about a week to make the decision. Once I started really playing with the name, it really started to make sense over time. And in fact, there is a sort of, internet-related dimension to the concept of flocking. People flocking around ideas, people flocking to delicious links.
I like it.
In fact, our early web service that Flock built for our own bookmarking had the concept of links that were flocked to. So you could see the number of other flockers that had flocked to a link and so on. So, but yes, we do get a lot of woodplay out of it. And we think that that's actually one of the really strengths of it, because we don't try to take ourselves that seriously, even though I tend to take myself way too seriously.
Any last questions, Amber? Because I do have to wrap this up pretty quick.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, Chris. Thank you very much. And for anyone who wants to try it, they can go to flock.com and try it out, and maybe just keep a copy of their other preferred browser, in the background in case they need to switch back until you guys come out with the actual public release.
Right, exactly.
Great.
And totally, thank you for having me on.
Oh, yeah. Chris Messina is a real flocker. FLOCK.com. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Go get the phone. Very interesting stuff. We should explain that the reason Amber went from Skype to phone there is we have some technical issues, which we have resolved for future episodes. Do you use Flock all the time, or do you use it once in a while, or how do you use it?
I tend to be playing with it a little bit, and I've never done this. I've never downloaded a browser and just sort of played with it for fun to kind of see what it could do. But, I have Firefox kind of running in the background. But, I've been experimenting a little bit. I love that you're able to, check out some Flickr photos really easily, blog directly from the Flock web browser. And, the starring idea, as Chris talked about, was really, really interesting. So, again, as he was talking about, it's something that you may not want to go with this entirely for 100% of your web surfing, but it seems to be, an interesting web browser and something you want to keep your eye on, and maybe six months down the road you might want to switch.
I think the integration of delicious tags is I probably won't use it as a blogging tool. I might not use it as a Flickr tool. I have other good ways to do that, but I didn't really I tried delicious and I thought, well, that's nice, but until it's really integrated into the browser, it doesn't seem to be that useful. But once it's in the browser, it's great.
I know. That's what you find with a lot of these different tools, is that once they come into the browser, you may be tempted to use them a little bit more. And this is why I think Flock is so interesting, is that it's bringing all of these different tools inside the browser that, again, you may not want to experiment with, or you may not get to, because you just kind of forget that they're there and you forget about going to an external website.
Right.
But when it's, right in front of your face and easily accessible, you get to kind of use your browser a lot more and kind of be playing within the browser instead of leaving the browser and heading elsewhere.
Do you want to explain a little bit about what Delicious is and how it integrates, or how it actually replaces, the bookmarking feature in Flock?
Yeah, I mean, Delicious, for anyone who doesn't know, it's sort of under that trend of services called social bookmarking. So the idea is that you go to Delicious and you can tag different websites that you've been to and different news items, and you tag them, based on keywords. And you keep, a set of all your favorite links within your Delicious site. So this is actually integrated right into the Flock browser. So it's just a different way of categorizing some of the content that you view and look at and, want to share with other people.
Delicious might well be the first of these. It's certainly the first one I was aware of.
I think it was one of the first, and it seemed to be the most popular, and still is probably one of the most popular. So they recently did a redesign of their site. It looks fantastic.
It works really well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They've done a really, really nice job of that. So
I'll give you an example of how we're starting to use it. By the way, it's DEL.ICIO.US. So it's still the word Delicious, but there's a dot between the L and the I and the O and the U. We started using it for Twit. So here's an example. One of the things that we do for This Week in Tech is we exchange news stories ahead of time. We had to kind of have an email thread going saying, oh, this is going to be a good story. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Delicious really kind of really streamlined that process, because we have one Twit account, and everybody can bookmark to it. And so there's a central repository of all the stories. You can write a little text paragraph about it, why you think it's important. You can tag it. And best of all, you can subscribe to an RSS feed of that channel. In fact, anybody can do it. It's delicious. Slash twit if you want to, or I think it's delicious slash RSS slash twit if you want to subscribe twit. To it. And then so you'll see what we're talking about ahead of time. You see, kind of be a part of the privy to the discussion. And then when it comes time to sit down and do twit, we've got this, you know, kind of already got this great agenda all lined up. There's where the social really happens, if it's a group of people who want to share information.
And I think a lot of these web services are really saving us from email overload. That's what I like about them, is that, you know, instead of you guys probably sending, you know, dozens of emails back and forth and exchanging links, you're able to do it all in one place, and it's, you know, updatable, constantly, you know, refreshed so that the information is current, and you don't have your inbox cluttered with a bunch of emails from different people, and, you know, it allows us to get away from that a little bit.
It's just a more appropriate way to handle bookmarks. What better place to handle bookmarks than in the browser? Email, what? Yeah, it should be in the browser. And especially a browser like Flock, where it's just tightly integrated. You just press the start.
It really is tightly integrated. And there's a few weird bugs with it. I know there's a couple things I've come across, but, you know, again, if you're just using it and kind of playing around with it, you know, I think it's a fantastic sort of preview of what's to come in the next few months with browsers.
We thank you so much for joining us for this episode, episode 2 of our brand new baby podcast, Inside the Net. Still working out some kinks, but I think it's going along pretty well. I'm not sure what we're going to do next week, but I know it's going to be wonderful.
We have some good ideas up our sleeves.
Okay, we're going to continue to cover new developments on the net, web services, Web 2.0, for lack of a better phrase. I think it's one of the most vital, interesting areas, so I'm really glad that we could do this. Amber MacArthur, have a great week, and I'll see you. I'll be coming up to Toronto next week.
Excellent. Talk to you soon, Leo.
We'll do Inside the Net from up there. For Amber MacArthur, I'm Leo Laporte. Our great thanks to the folks at AOL Radio, who not only broadcast Inside the Net on their podcast channel, but also provide us bandwidth for the podcast at aolmusic.com. We appreciate your subscription. Hope you keep listening. We'll see you next time on Inside the Net.